So why? Why is it, if all these things are true, why is it that America continues to support Israel contrary to all the issues that they set forth? Well, they know the answer. It's called the Israel Lobby. What is the Israel Lobby? The Israel Lobby is an amalgam of Jewish groups and some non-Jewish groups, some Christian groups, evangelical groups, who advocate and support on behalf of Israel. Third, I see my role as head of the ADL to say what others may hesitate to say. I appreciate the comments by individuals who were involved directly in U.S. Middle East policymaking, people such as Dennis Ross, Ed Walker, former U.S. Ambassador to Egypt and Israel, Donald Rumsfeld, all of whom in one way or another confronted Mearsheimer and Walt's version of how U.S. policy is made, and it doesn't bear even the slightest resemblance to how actually it is made. In Mearsheimer and Walt's perverse universe, decisions are determined by the power of the Israeli lobby. In the real world, say policymakers, decisions are reached through a multitude of factors and influences. Listen to what George Shultz wrote in his foreword to my book, and I quote, "I've spent a good portion of my life serving in the government of the United States. I was a member of the cabinet for a dozen years, 6 1/2 of them as Secretary of State. So I've had plenty of opportunity to see the workings of our system. We are a people committed to law, but we allow a virtual free-for-all in the process by which laws are adopted, enforced, and interpreted. Thousands of groups vie for influence, pursuing the interests of their many causes. Jewish groups are influential," writes George Shultz. "They also largely agree that the United States should support Israel. But the notion that these groups have anything like a uniform agenda and the U.S. policy on Israel and the Middle East is the result of their influence is simply wrong." End quote. These comments by former government officials provide effective and credible responses. I am not a government official. I am the director of an organization whose main charge is to fight anti-Semitism.
And then they get their little henchman, Abe Foxman, out from the ADL, and he's going bitching after Dolly Parton because she kind of said, oh, you know, I'm, you know, naively said, well, you know, Hollywood is run by Jews, and they probably didn't like my Christian documentary or whatever, and she had to go and apologize and lick these people's arses.
Yeah, because it's blackmail. Meanwhile, there's egregious fucking other assholes who don't repudiate anything and get to say whatever they want about any race, any religion, anything, and get away scot-free, and the same kind of emphasis isn't put on them. Now, supposedly, under the auspices, the Anti-Defamation League is supposed to defend all people.
Yeah.
And all cultures from being assaulted, you know? But no, it's just only expressly for Jewish interests.
We pride ourselves on our credibility in not rushing to judgment upon whether or not someone or something is anti-Semitic. We spend as much time saying that things are not anti-Semitism as saying that they are. But when the most dangerous manifestations of anti-Semitism surfaces in the heart of America's establishment, it is my responsibility to call it what it is. I am less interested what is in the heart of John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walt or Jimmy Carter than in the dangerous messages that they convey. Accusations that Jews stifle a free discussion of Middle East issues in America are not only grossly inaccurate, but they are anti-Semitic.
Talk about the lobby, you're gone. We have Cynthia McKinney. I mean, they ran her out of office for a congresswoman from Georgia.
Accusations that it was the Jews who got us into a war with Iraq are likewise inaccurate and anti-Semitic.
What I find you to be is an anti-Semite, a Jew-baiter.
Accusations that Jews support Israel, knowing that that harms America, are inaccurate and anti-Semitic.
Well, that's their defense, is just call them a racist.
I could go on in giving you examples that are fully addressed in the book. I do want to address one point that is sometimes raised in regard to my book and the entire controversy. Some people say, you're giving publicity to these guys and helping to spread their idea. Very frequently in the media, I'm asked and told, well, if you didn't write the book, there would be no discussion in mainstream America. And those that I challenge back and say, tell me, if I did not write the book, would you be interviewing them? Would you be telling their point of view? Would you be broadcasting about their conclusions? And those honest in the media basically look at me and say, yes, we would. So let me say at the outset, and in our work, we are always evaluating the wisdom of going public on particular issues. There are many issues about which you may not hear from us, the ADL.
We begin tonight with a surprising development in the story of those swastikas painted on the door of a student at George Washington University. Good evening, I'm Doreen Gensler.
And I'm Jim Vance. Turns out the student was painting the hateful symbols herself. Jackie Benson is at the university now with more on this. Jackie?
Here's what she had to say at that time.
Oh. Who does such a thing?
I wish I knew. I wish I had any clue who this was, but university police, my house proctor, administrators, nobody can think of a motive of somebody who hates me that much.
There are many issues about which you may not hear from us, the ADL.
David in Queens, New York. You're on the air with Bernie Sanders. Senator Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, how's it going? There's a lot of scandals within the Bush administration, but the big scandal that the media is trying to hide is the fact that AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, is under investigation for spying in the Pentagon. I mean, basically, they
were... David, I'm sorry, Bernie. I'm going to cut him off.
Yep.
There's a small cadre of people who are convinced that Israel and the Jews are behind all evil things in the world, and that AIPAC is their point person. And I'm not even going to debate the. I'm not going to go there.
There are many issues about which you may not hear from us, the ADL, and may not even hear about it at all, because we decide that it is a wiser path to operate behind the scenes.
Oh, you know, this is the thing. The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith has literally had its tentacles inside police departments all over the United States for years. In fact, without going into a long story, I can tell you this much, that when this bunch of criminals out on the West Coast were trying to destroy Liberty Lobby, which is the publisher of the Spotlight, the newspaper that preceded American Free Press, when they orchestrated a trumped-up SWAT team raid on the home of Willis Cardo, who was the founder of Liberty Lobby, it was Deputy Sheriff Tim Carroll of San Diego County who orchestrated and organized that SWAT team raid. This guy was publicly documented as the Anti-Defamation League liaison to the San Diego County Deputy Sheriff. And this has been something that has happened in police departments all over the country.
Sometimes it's a close call as to which way to go. But in my view, the emergence of these conspiracy theories in Congress, in prestigious universities, from the pen of a former president...
Jimmy Carter has gotten into trouble.
You mean that anti-Semite?
Called anti-Semite.
is not at all a close call. Let's remember the broader context in which all of these conspiracy theories have surfaced. Since 9/11, there has been a resurgence of classical anti-Semitic conspiracy theory.
It's important to realize that if we're going to have a discussion about what happened on September the 11th and other such things, we have to look at who benefited from it.
The like of which we have not seen since Nazi days. The terrorism of 9/11 spawned the notion that it was Jews and Israelis, not Osama bin Laden, who committed terror of that day.
Evidence linking these Israelis to 9/11 is classified. I cannot tell you about evidence that has been gathered. It's classified information.
Millions of people around the world believe today and repeat this lie based on another lie, that 4,000 Israelis did not show up for work at the World Trade Center on 9/11, because they were supposedly warned away by the Mossad, Israel's secret service.
There's a big rumor floating around that 4,000 people didn't show up to work. But this is out of Haaretz's newspaper in Israel. Here in Haaretz's paper, right out of Israel, they had forewarned knowledge and they had warned their subscribers to the Odigo Instant Messenger Service. Odigo says workers were warned of attack 2 hours previous. Odigo Instant Message Service said that they did send out an instant message to their subscribers, Israeli subscribers, that they were not to go to work that day 2 hours previous to the attack.
The terrorism of 9/11 spawned the notion that it was Jews and Israelis who committed terror that day.
Numerous classified documents obtained by Fox News indicate that even prior to September 11th, as many as 140 other Israelis had been detained or arrested in a secretive and sprawling investigation into suspected espionage by Israelis in the United States. The majority of those questioned, quote, stated they served in military intelligence, electronic surveillance intercept, and or explosive ordnance units.
Holocaust denial is rampant.
Yet, if you say something like questioning the Holocaust, it wasn't denying it. I hate that word, Holocaust denial. They're just questioning the numbers and the events. And we've done that in every war, every single war we've ever had. There's one version that comes out and it gets questioned and either holds and stands the test of time or not.
If the Orthodox account of the history of World War II were absolutely 100% factually correct, then the fastest way to deal with Holocaust reexamination would be to hold a televised debate. If you know in your heart of hearts that maybe you don't have the right track, then you dare not allow a debate or a question to be asked, and you resort to force and threat of court and threat of arms and threat of jail and prison and even worse in order to silence dissent. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now.
In the Arab and Muslim worlds, culminating in the comments and organizations of a Holocaust denial conference in Tehran by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
And I think one of the reasons that Israel and the Zionists are so panicked when Ahmadinejad openly challenges the Orthodox version of the Holocaust and the history of World War II is I think they realize that if people start to doubt and start to really take a look, there's a lot of what's been going on is going to become very, very obvious that it's the deception, that it's propaganda, that it's lie, and if it all unravels, then Israel really has lost their ability to dictate to the American media, to dictate to the Congress, to continue to extort so much money out of the American taxpayer. It's only in this one area of inquiry that to ask a question is punishable by law, and I think it is so obvious that this kind of reaction is intended to keep a secret, not to preserve the truth.
Well, I, for one, started questioning it more when I saw all the laws saying you're not allowed to question it, because it made me think, is there something to hide here?
Arab television runs series based on the idea that the infamous document, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, is a genuine revelation of Jewish attempts to take over the world. And Arab newspapers run anti-Semitic cartoons on a regular basis, comparing Israel to the Nazis.
Because at the end of World War II, you had the Zionists talking about basically going into Palestine, grabbing land that belonged to other people, and just taking it for their own use to form their own country. And that is exactly what Hitler had been doing, marching into other people's countries, other people's land, killing them, taking the land to form the greater, larger Germany.
Accusing Israelis of drinking the blood of Arabs and controlling America. Finally, even in Europe, according to several recent ADL public opinion polls, there are strong tendencies to see in classical anti-Semitic mode that Jews continue to control. More than half of the people surveyed in 11 European countries in the last 6 months believe European Jews are more loyal to Israel than their own country.
ADL couldn't exist, couldn't raise money without anti-Semitism.
And nearly 40% believe Jews are too influential in politics and business. And over 50% in Europe believe that U.S. Jews control American foreign policy.
And it's certainly not the first time. There was a scandal back in, I think it was 1993, where the head of AIPAC was forced to resign when a tape surfaced of him bragging that he had already made deals with the incoming Clinton administration over who was going to be Secretary of State and how much money Israel was going to get.
This proliferation of conspiracy theories must not be taken lightly. If Jews are portrayed not merely as people you don't like.
The USS Liberty was deliberately attacked by Israel in 1967. And it was done so deliberately because the Liberty was a U.S. listing ship, and Israel was planning to execute Egyptian prisoners of war. It could not afford to have the United States Liberty listen in on the communications. They did not want to be caught committing a war crime. because a war criminal wants to do its dirty work in private, in the dark. For more than 90 minutes, the USS Liberty was subjected to a strafing attack. Dozens upon dozens of soldiers, seamen, American sailors were murdered, deliberately murdered. The documentation of this is irrefutable and its extent, and anyone who wants to investigate it may do so.
But as people who are insidious and all-powerful, then one has a right to do anything to defend oneself against the all-powerful Jews.
The Liberty was a crime against the United States, and if anyone else had done it, the United States would have gone to war. But Israel gets away with murder, literally.
In a world of suicide bombs and non-conventional weapons, it does not take much imagination to see where all of this can go. America is different. Different. However, this country where Jews are fully accepted, this is the country that uses its influence to counter anti-Semitism abroad. America is the one of the key reasons why the situation of Jews in the world, despite the dangers that I have spoken about, is far different than it was in the 30s and 40s. And therefore, from this platform, in this country, in the universities, people like Mearsheimer, Wald, Carter, and Moran need to be challenged, for they want to change the atmosphere that's out there.
The United States has been humiliated, abused, disgraced, internationally and domestically, as it moves to support Israel in whatever it does. And it is impossible to think that this is being done willingly, that the United States is the same country that existed in the 1960s and 70s. The only possible thing that we can conclude is that the United States has been under Israeli occupation